All right, everybody. Good morning. Good morning on this Sunday morning. Can you believe that this is the last church service of the year? It's hard to believe that 2024 is going out the window. We are stepping into the most epic times of our lifetime, 2025. It's a very sobering year. More than any other year that we have ever faced. But I believe that 2024, God has prepared us for such a time as this, for us to meet our destiny and to meet this moment that God carved in time. He knows where we're at. And he knows what we're all facing. This is not the time to fear. This is the time to go into a year with full expectations that he is either my God or he's not. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Same kind of feeling they had to go through, you know. Going before the king, who they knew had plots and plans. But they had it set in their heart, the will of the Lord be done. And God is God, regardless. The thing about us is not to compromise the God we know. Because this new age Jesus that they're erecting is nothing but a golden calf before the children of Israel. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is the world's expectations of a God that they want, that they crave. But it's not the God of the Bible. The real God and the real Jesus that is holy, honorable, worthy to be praised. This New Age Jesus that they have all come in agreement about, that they're really pushing on YouTube, this image of salvation to all these people without repentance. That's not Jesus. Oh no. This Jesus is the one I spent time with this week where I was repenting. So I know Jesus. This one that they're all doing as they're telling each other to F off and everything. No. This kind of Jesus is a farce. It's such a joke. You just can't even believe that people are following this. I mean, that the delusion is this bad. That they will let people cuss their God and talk so vile, you know. But this is what we're facing. This is the kind of enemy we're facing. A false New Age Jesus. Okay, so I just want to thank everybody for allowing me to take off a week. You saw me in and out, but really I was able to get a lot of stuff done that I needed to get done to go full forward in the Bible college and full forward into the battle that we have, you know, coming forward. So I'm fully ready for the Bible college now. I have the syllabus up and have, you know, everybody knows all of their expectations are there. So everything's ready to go. I've got my grading mechanism set up and everything. So I'm organized and ready to go on that. We got our house organized like I needed it to be. So we got our house in order, both prayer spiritually and physically. So that's a blessing. And then God asked of me, one thing that was very hard to do was to sit down and write a letter to all of these pastors that I've had associations with across the country that I really invested my time with, you know, serving them, living in their church, living in their house, you know, serving them 10, 12 years ago. So the Lord wanted me to warn them. I haven't spoken to these people all this time, you know, and I know how a lot of them feel about me. They're very disappointed because, you know, they was excited when I was on the Trump train, but when I jumped, they jumped type of deal. And it, I know it's only because they don't understand what I saw, and maybe they watched some of my shows. I don't know. But the point is, God wanted me to warn them one last time. And it was Christmas Eve. Me and Dennis, you know, just working around the house, getting ready to cook a big Christmas dinner. You know, he had the turkey on the smoker and the pineapple and the deer meat. And, you know, so we're just having a good little Christmas experience together. And I'm sitting in the living room and I'm writing this letter and I'm just pouring my heart out to these guys. I mean, a lot of them don't know my journey. So I had to write my journey since I left them, what God did. I mean, they know, I'm sure they heard somewhere that I ended up in the White House, but they, you know, didn't know about the tours I went on and all that kind of stuff. So I spelled it all out and, I warned them. I told them I'm writing this on Christmas Eve. And I've got an awesome husband who is, you know, behind me 100% writing this letter to you guys. And I said, but I can't write too much because I do have to get in there and cook Christmas dinner. But I just wanted to take this time to warn you. So it ended up being 9 pages long. That's how it is when I get to writing. It's like just pours out. But I told them the raw truth from beginning to end about Trump, the global ID, partnerships with evil, and all that. So what I need to ask you guys to do is if y'all would pray for protection over me and Pastor. This was a big deal. Huge. Hugely. Bigly. This is a big deal because these people are next to the top. These are ones that could just easily text it to Trump, Elon, all these people. These are top dogs. But the Lord still had me do it. I didn't send it immediately. I kept it about 3 or 4 days and prayed about it because I was so nervous about sending it. I needed confirmation, and I got my confirmation. I sent the letter. A couple of days later, you know, I get the notice about Christina Beadsworth's word. This was after I had prepared a huge news show about what's happening with Trump and Elon and the Republican Party. You just would not believe it. You would not. You're not going to believe it. It's so, the craziness of it all. This is after I wrote this letter to this pastor, after I took it to the post office and sent it off. It's done. The warning is out there. Now the Republican Party is doing exactly what I told them in that letter. It's the snake biting the tail. They're going against the church. All these people thinking they hung on, it's going out the window. Anyway, we'll talk more about this on New Year's Eve. But anyway, so I prepared this show not knowing anything about Christina. And then afterwards, I heard about Christina because I couldn't do the show because we had storms. My internet was horrible. So I listened to Christina last night with Dennis. And my mouth was to the floor. I'm telling you, if if that letter sent to those pastors was not the most perfect timing I've ever seen. Because this warning from her is to them. It's like, you either repent of your allegiance to this man or else. And this is, you know, me sending this warning to these people, telling them, you know, you need to break your alliance here, type of deal. You just can't make it up the way everything's happening in this ministry and the things that God is asking me to do. Like give up WATB, which I birthed ever since Bible College in 2005. So on New Year's Eve, Tuesday night, 10 o'clock, we're going to meet here on the conference call. We're not going to do a video because I don't want this public. I want to really talk to you guys and give you a real heart warning and put it all together for you in a picture Tuesday night on New Year's Eve. So it'll be at 10 o'clock and we'll ring in the new year together. But so I will have my audios in place and everything. By this time, hopefully you'll be able to, you know, watch the news and see how I put it together. And then, you know, listen to Christina Beadsworth. And then Tuesday night, we'll all do this together, you know. And I will put it together exactly what we're looking at for 2025. And then we're going to pray about it. And we're going to plead the blood of Jesus. We're going to take communion. And we're going to leave 2024 behind and step into the year with no fear and with the expectation that our God is mighty. He is mighty. He's holy and he's pure and he's worthy. And we're going to go into it knowing that we're not alone. So that's New Year's Eve. So I encourage all of you guys to be a part of that with us. And then I sent the letter to about 25 pastors. Dennis has got a couple of more he wants me to send it to. So, you know, it may continue. But the good thing is they're getting their letter before this thing is about to collapse, you know, on top of them. Hopefully, and we all need to pray that they will listen to this letter, that they will at least consider what I'm saying, because, you know, I don't know if they know of anybody else that has been that close to the president that is telling them this sort of thing. So hopefully these ministers will listen, you know. And so I should be getting some feedback from some of them, hopefully. I gave them all my phone number, the website to go to. I even put the letter up on the website in a private way. But I gave them the link where they can go on there and share that letter. If they want to send it to Trump, it is what it is. If they want to send it to Elon, any of those guys, it is, I can't go in fear. I have to just believe that maybe they'll send it to another friend pastor and say, oh my God, what have we done? You know, maybe they'll listen and maybe they'll call me and want a meeting. You know what I mean? I mean, who knows what's going to come out of this? But I just need you guys as the church to pray for safety for me and Pastor. So as of today, we're back on full schedule. Praise God. We go back to our prayer calls this week. I did miss the prayer calls, and I'm very happy to pick those back up. We start Monday. We'll have one Tuesday, not on Wednesday, because we'll be together Tuesday night late. And then Thursday morning we will, and Friday morning we will. So we're back to regular schedule. Thursday night Zoom we will not have this week. Wednesday night we do have Bible College, which I'm very excited. That's all ready to go now. And so I just want to invite you guys, before we go into worship, to Tuesday night here on the conference call in a very intimate setting. Tuesday night's end of the year warning. As we gather together here on Tuesday night at 10 p.m. to ring in the new year. And, you know, I'm going to seriously put it all together for you guys. You know, the prophetic word for 2025 type of deal. All right. So I just want to thank you guys for loving me and Pastor. And I tell you, we've been married 2.5 years. And this weekend, this past week, you know, we had some things come to the surface while we worked together during the week. And we was able to nip it in the bud and repent to the Lord. And we're believing God, you know, that through this 40-day fast, that we will be healed and delivered. You know, me and him, we're just regular humans like you are. You know, we have issues in our life that we need healing and deliverance of. And we're believing that through this 40-day fast that God is going to get that final carving, you know, this having us on the potter's wheel and kind of getting that bump in the road in our life straightened up. You know, I mean this. Because there's none of us that have arrived. None of us. We've all got that one thing we just have to overcome. And that's what we need to overcome in 2025. Because if we don't, the enemy's going to use that against us. Now, I want to tell you guys this as a church, just one little quick warning, is something that has been coming out that is increasing is the fake AI is increasing, and these hackers are using people's voices to trick family members into money. It's a scam. So you need to set up some type of system with your family that there's a code that you guys know. Don't put the code anywhere in the beast. Don't text the code. Don't, you know, email the code. You need to just do it like this. This is how me and Dennis decided. You know, just remember something that happened when you was a kid that only they would know. And then say, if I ask you, okay, prove who you are. And then they would say, remember the lion. You know, whatever this key phrase or word is that you and your family will know that the beast will not know. Y'all seriously need to do this because we're going into the days of the fiber for the cyber. You know, it's going to increase where AI will be used against people. And so if you have a system set up where you cannot be duped, you know, that's just a little bit of warning for you. Okay, so now on to the church issues. Let us all gather together this morning, and we're going to worship the Lord. Let's spend a minute in prayer, and then we're going to sing a couple of songs. And then today, Pastor and I are tag team preaching. And I really enjoy when we're able to do this together. It's such a pleasure working alongside him. Okay, so let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for 2024. All the things, Lord, that you've done for us and molding and shaping us and preparing us for 2025. You know, we just thank you, Lord. And today as we gather as a family, Lord, may your name be lifted up this morning. You are worthy. You're worthy to be praised, Lord. You are high and lifted up this morning. And we thank you, God, that you are worthy of it all. And we pray, Lord, that you would use me this morning for your glory. And while I'm praying, please use Pastor for your glory too, Lord, when he preaches. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to sing this song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. You know, we have to know in this time that Jesus is for us. That he is really our friend. I mean, we are his servant. But it's kind of like being married, really. You know, as a wife, you are his servant, you know. But we're all servants. Jesus was a servant, you know. When he did the Last Supper, he served his people. He washed their feet. That's like us as wives. You know, we're servants to our husband. But it's a good servant. You know, it's a way that you want to honor them. You know, so you want to serve them and please them. And that's the way it is with Jesus. But you also, as in a marriage relationship, you also have a friend. You know, and it's that way with Jesus. He is a friend. You know, we go to him for comfort. We talk to him when we're sad. We talk to him when we're happy. You know, so when you sing this song, think about it. I mean, wow. Because some of us may end up in prison cells. And we may end up in places all by ourselves. I mean, this is no joke anymore. You know. And so we need to know that if no one else is around, we have the Lord. He really is a friend. So let's sing that song. What a friend we have in Jesus. I'm off tune. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. I think I'm off tune. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry, this is good, ain't listen, everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Listen to this one. Can we find a friend so faithful? Who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Isn't that beautiful? I love the lyrics of these old songs. Okay, the next one y'all should know pretty good. Is I Surrender All. All to Jesus. Oh, I got that other tune. I freely give up. Let me just start from the chorus. I'm sorry, Brian. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender all to Him, I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender humbly at His feet. I bow. Isn't this beautiful? Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Listen to this one. All to Jesus I surrender. Make my Savior wholly thine. May thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know thy power divine. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Isn't that beautiful? And Lord, we do surrender all this morning. Lord, we just thank you and give you praise today, Lord, because you are worthy to be praised. There is none like you, Lord, none like you. All right, let's get started in the Word this morning. Everybody turn your Bible to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. All to thee, my precious Savior, I surrender all. All right, all of you that are just now signing in, please go back later and listen to the beginning of this video or audio once I get it posted. Listen to the beginning before you came because I gave a lot of important information. Okay, so I encourage you to go back and listen. All right, so let's go to Acts chapter 10. Now, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. He was a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of the Lord come to him and said, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell you what you should do. And when the angel which spoke unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto him, he sent them to Joppa. Now, I'm going to pause right here. Let's talk about this. Because we are going into the hour of 2025. When we may not have internet, we may not have a phone, we may not have no way of communicating in the near future. We're going back to the book of Acts. You're going to have to know the voice of God. You're going to have to trust that, like I said, what we're going to do on New Year's Eve, okay? There is the fact that God is either the God of your life or he's not. So if he's your God, then you're going to have to follow that candle. You're going to have to follow that voice. And this is how he's going to lead us. They didn't have internet back then. How did God do such a massive thing between 12 apostles who was spread out all over the world? And yet they was able to communicate with each other. How? Because of the Holy Spirit. Think about it like this. The Holy Spirit is our communications. He is our internet. He's the motherboard. He's the motherlode. So he knows how to talk to Denise and tell Denise what to do, who may go see Tracy, and who may end up at Dorothy's, who may end up going to see Marilyn or Kathy or Leslie or Ardina and Bruce or Kimberly or any of them. God can speak to any of you and say, okay, I want you to go to this house and be there at 7 o'clock in the morning. Remember, I told you how God did that to me when I wrote my book, my life story, when God put me in that cabin and filled the cabin with food. And he gave that place to me for free, had somebody come and give me a lot of groceries and say, okay, the Lord wants you to stay here for a week and write. I had many dreams during that week, which I did, you know, put it all in that book, my life story. But on the last night I was there, the Lord said, I want you to get up. He gave me a dream. He said, get up and your ex-stepfather is at this address, and I want you to be there at 7 a.m. Now, I didn't have gas money, and I was like, okay, Lord, I'm going to go, but you're going to have to make my fumes take me, you know. You're going to have to take care of me because in the natural, I don't have the money to do this, you know, type of deal. But I still obeyed the Lord, and I left, and there he was. I haven't seen this man in 30 years. And I walked in and he was so shocked and he said, what are you doing here? And I had to confess. I had to tell him what the Lord told me to tell him. And do you know that man cried and cried and cried. It blessed him so much. I made sure he was saved and ready to go, because he died soon after that. But I told him, I'm a minister now, and I have to make sure you're ready to meet the Lord. But the Lord was my communication system. He wakes me up, and I go. And you know, my car made it. It went on fumes. It did exactly what God said. Because remember what I said. When God gives you a command and he tells you to do something, everything in the realm has to work out. Because the will of the Lord is going to be done. So if you have a car, then the car is going to have to obey, type of deal. So he was telling Cornelius, you know, and I was thinking when the angel was talking to Cornelius, you know, saying, okay, Cornelius, you know, you're going to meet up with a guy whose surname is Peter. Why didn't God just tell Peter? Instead of making Peter go to Cornelius's house. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I mean, what was the point of this meeting? Well, couldn't he have just said, Peter, I want you to go to Jerusalem. I want you to do this. But instead, he tells Peter, which you'll see here in a minute. He tells Peter, hey, I want you to go to Cornelius's house, and then he's going to tell you what you need to do. See? So it's a body fitly joined together. We all need each other. Unity in the bride of Christ, the real bride. Because the Lord is going to use us as a family, as an army. And we have to have trust. We can trust one another. Okay? And if you are involved in something that is not right, you know, that is being deceiving or whatever, repent, get out of that. We don't have time for that. The body needs to be unified. We need to come together because the rubber's hitting the road in 2025. There's no more playing games. People need to get their head in the game. You know, this is about to go down, and you're either for us or against us at this point. Because, you know, we're going in the hour where people are going to be turning you in and stuff. So, you know, people need to get serious and stop playing. So anyway, but he told him he had to go see Cornelius, which means that there was a reason that he wanted him to go there. So let's go back to the word here and continue on this road. Verse 8, and when he had declared all these things unto him, we're in Acts chapter 10, he sent him to Joppa. And on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh to the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would not eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. So yes, trances are real, and trances are not all New Age. Like, you know, New Age has very creepy stuff, but God has used people in trances. And this is an example. And he saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descended onto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. Wow. So he sees this sheet come down, and there's all sorts of different animals in this sheet. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have not eaten anything that's common or unclean. And the voice spoke to him again the second time, what God has cleansed, thou call not common. This was done three times, and the vessel was received up into heaven. Now, when Peter doubted in himself what this vision was, which he had seen, what does it mean? Behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was the surname Peter, was lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are here. Arise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Now, God will do this. I've got a story. I was in the White House, sitting in the White House press corps. Remember, God told me, he said, when you go in there, you sit and be quiet for 4 months. Don't say nothing, which I thought was very strange. You know, I'm going to sit there and not talk to anybody. But I obeyed the Lord. And one day, I guess the people in the press corps got curious, who is this woman? So these group of people was walking towards me, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me just like he did Peter. He said, be very vague because it's a trap. So they come over, hey, who are you? Where are you from? What's your education? Yada, yada. You know, they were filling me out, wanting to research me, you know. And so I told them, but because the Holy Spirit had warned me, I knew to not give them too much information. You know, he's so good like that. And I'm going to tell you, he is so good that he cares about your everyday matters. When I was living with people serving on these ministers, the Lord would tell me, get up and go wash the dishes. Go clean the hair out of the bathtub. You know, like say I took a shower. He would say, don't leave hair in the bathtub. You know, make up your bed. I mean, he would tell me how to honor the house. He knew how these people were. He knew what is going to bring peace here. So if you have a problem loving, ask the Lord, what can I do for them to show them love? You know, the Lord will show you this, like he showed me how to take care of their house. Okay? So it's the same here. So the Holy Spirit was telling him to go. He said, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he which you seek. What is the cause where you come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that fears God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews. Wow. And I thought about that. I examined my heart for a minute. I couldn't say that about me. People, there's a good report of me because of what I do, and you know, with the news and stuff, and I'm sad about that. But I thought about him, and I thought, well, that's a great thing that this man is well respected all the way around. Was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. So here's an angel talking to Cornelius in his house. Here's an angel talking to Peter on the other side of town in his house. See how God is. We are a kingdom fitly joined together. We're in an army of the living God, and we're going to have to know this in the coming days. Because if they take our internet, if they shut us down, if they send us off the camps, if they do whatever they're going to do, we have to know we're not lost and we are not forsaken. This internet does not dictate who we are. This electricity does not dictate who we are. We are of a realm that they know not of. We're of the kingdom of God. We're in a supernatural realm. Which all of us that's in the Bible college, we're going to get into this about what does that really mean? Because this is a part of your identity. When we get saved, our roots come out of our tree spiritually and connects us to this new realm. It's really fascinating. And now we have access to this heavenly realm. We're going to have to know this in the coming days, that if we are in a prison cell alone, that we know that we are not alone. We have our family out here all over the world that is all doing their piece of the puzzle in this end time scenario, an end time picture. And my role in this puzzle is being in this prison cell. So then our responsibility at that time is not to give up and cry and fall over and die, or to try to get yourself killed. It just bothers me when people say that. Oh, if they come to my house, I'm going to go out there and have them shoot me. For what? You're not going to let God use you in the prison camp? These people need you. You're only here for a fleeting moment. You're not even going to be here another week or so. So why would you shoot yourself early? You know, God needs you in the every bit of you, in all aspects of you, you know. So if you're in that prison cell, you know, look at yourself and remember what I'm telling you. Okay, Lord, I am here now. What do you want me to do? There may be somebody in the cell next to you that their parents have been praying for them a long time, and they have been rebellious, and they have prayed and cried to the Lord, and those prayers have went up to the Lord, and God knew that the only way to reach them is to shut them up in a prison. Have them be quiet enough to listen and to hear God, and to have you over there singing, "What a day that will be when our Jesus we shall see." And their heart melts. And they accept Jesus before they're carted off. Every one of us has a job to do in this end time scenario. We're all family. And we're all have a different role to play. But we should not despise our role. Like I've told you guys, what the Lord's already revealed to me, what's coming to me. I don't despise that. I'm not mad about it. I'm like, the will of the Lord be done. All I ask is you pray for me the grace to go through it. Because I know every role that God has sent me to do, speaking at the White House, to the president, to the Republicans, and addressing these things in front of the Secret Service and everybody, there's no way I could do that within my own strength. It's had to be the grace. And it's going to be the grace of God that's going to have us finish our role. So there's nothing we can do anyway without His grace. But in the kingdom of God, just like with Cornelius and with Peter, we rely upon the Holy Spirit. We rely upon God to navigate our path, to navigate our road, to navigate us. Because we're of a kingdom that this world knows not of. So we have a commander in chief. His name is Jesus. And He sends out a command. We're the army of the living God. And so He knows how to reach Tracy, who's way over here, and how to reach Denise, who's way over here, and what's going on over here, and what's going on over here, just like He did with Cornelius and Peter. So let's go back to the Word. We're in Acts chapter 10, verse 29. And I want to tell all of you guys that are still signing in, you've got to go back and listen to this recording, because there's a lot of important things I told them on the call this morning. So you need to go back and make sure you hear that after this, okay? All right, so verse 29, "Therefore come I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. And I ask therefore for what intent you have sent me." And Cornelius said, 4 days ago. Now this is Cornelius and Peter meet up. So Cornelius says, 4 days ago I was fasting. How many of y'all would like to see an angel while you fast these 40 days? "I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing." Isn't that beautiful? "And said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and your alms are had in remembrance of the sight of God. Remember what I told you is happening in the end time scenario where the angels bring the bowls of prayer to God? This is in the middle of the book of Revelation. And they bring the prayers to God and he smells the prayers. This is when God acts. He sees, he hears, and he smells. And then he acts. So they bring those prayers and it brings this anger up in God. This is right before the wrath of God is poured out in the earth. Because our prayers are, it means so much to God. And although sometimes we feel like we're praying against a brick wall, and we all have, okay, they're still gathered. Remember, we all have an angel with us. We have an angel with us at all times, if not more angels, okay? But these angels are there to gather your prayers. Isn't that beautiful? And then they take your prayers. And if you think about why that is done, it's because we have a right to be here in the earth. We are living. We are, the breath of God is in us. So when we pray, we come in agreement with heaven. And we're releasing that out of our breath, the agreement with heaven. So they take these prayers and they keep them in these bowls at the altar. Isn't that beautiful? And one day, they're going to bring them to God. He's going to hear the cries of the saints about how they've been done and all this. And he's going to pour out, he's going to get his revenge one day. And said, Cornelius, your prayers heard, your alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call here Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodged in the house of one Simon in the tanner by the sea, who when he comes shall speak unto you. Immediately therefore I send to thee, and thou hast well done that art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded of God. That is powerful. And you guys remember what I'm saying. If you don't remember nothing else I say, remember this. I told you guys prophets are real. Prophets are real. So when the communications go down or we're not able to communicate, you need to recognize the moment when God sends you a prophet to your house. You let them come in and you treat them like Cornelius did with Peter. And you say, tell me all you know. I want to know what heaven is saying. And listen, this is what I'm praying all these pastors that get my letter this week. I pray they have that heart, that they will consider the warning that I am sending them about what is happening in the earth and coming to the church in 2025. I pray to be like this with Cornelius and Peter, because Cornelius says, tell me all the things that are commanded of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. He's laying a foundation here. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Woo! Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hung on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly. So there is the testimony of Jesus. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded, so he's testifying. I even saw him after he died. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it was he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, that's powerful, whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. Isn't that beautiful? While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Oh, could you imagine that house in Cornelius, baby? Oh, yes. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. Okay, what does that mean? They of the circumcision. It means the first covenant. The first covenant. The Jews. That's what the circumcision was the covenant. They were astonished. And as many as came with Peter, because that the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, they just couldn't believe it. For they heard them speak in tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which has received the Holy Ghost as well as you? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So God revealed to Peter that salvation belongs to everyone. This is the new covenant. This is the new covenant called Jesus, which does away with the old covenant. There's only one covenant now, and this is why we're going to be healed. Because if you believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven, then you will be removed. Because that is blasphemy to them. Because they don't believe there's a second covenant. There is a second covenant. Jesus is that covenant. He supersedes them all. Because he fulfills the law. This is why we're grafted in. That's what it means. Not the way that Schofield and all them are interpreting it. No. We are the modern day children of Israel. We are. And Peter talks about it. Paul talks about it. So I'm going to go ahead and hand this over to Pastor. He is going to go now with phase two of the sermon. Good morning, sir. Good morning.
Good morning to everybody.
You got the floor.
Thanks for your. Okay. Thank you for your word, Mama. I guess something I wanted to say before we get into this word is the message that Christine put out that you said you was going to share. I don't know, next day or so here, called the Dragnet. I advise everybody to listen to that. Take notes and really soak it in, because I would say 80% of what she says in there is what June has been talking about and revealing. And so this is confirmation. It is very powerful. And second is, which she's going to also talk about and going to show things, is about these false Christ that all over the media there, everybody's talking about this Jesus and this big movement and oh God this and God, you know, and they're it's serious stuff. And when people hear all this and they think, oh, you know, this is so cool, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Well, I'm sorry to say, in Matthew 24:24-26, for there shall rise false Christ and false prophets and shall thou show great signs and wonders, and so much that if there were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. There's many other scriptures, warning scriptures about this. 2 Corinthians 11:3-4, Paul warns Christians about false apostles who preach about Jesus who is not the real Jesus. And we're seeing that all over the board, and it's sucking people right in to this new world order agenda. Romans 16:18, false prophets deceive people with smooth talk and flattery. They serve their own appetite instead of the Lord Jesus. And there's many other scriptures about this. Matthew 24:4-5, 2 Corinthians 11:13-15, 2 Thessalonians 2:3-4, and more. Beware of this. June's going to be talking and exposing a lot of this. And you see it, once again, all over the media. All these big movements sweeping across the churches. So best beware. Anyway, let's also, in Acts 10, I'll try and go through this quick. I see Acts 10 as, you know, as June mentioned, it's a salvation message, you know. I mean, it belongs to everyone. You know, in the latter part of Acts 10, it reveals this. You know, God's love and salvation is offered to all people, regardless of their race, color, tongue, their background, whatever. And then, you know, talked about the Holy Spirit. You know, Holy Spirit power, it breaks down, transforms the barriers between believing Jews and Gentiles. You know, and God is no respecter of persons. You know, this is in verses 44 and 45. I'm kind of getting that. You know, when I, June told me about this morning, so I kind of, some of these verses are going to be out of whack here, you might say, but you know, the verse 38, you know, let me get there myself. You know, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all, not just this person or that person or some rich person or poor people, all, it says here, that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with them. You know, this oppressed of the devil, you know, they were under the power of the devil. And we can see that all over with these false Christ and, you know, this big movement, these false prophets and people. They're oppressed of the devil. And I give a message, I don't know how many weeks back, about bewitched, the bewitching. That is here. That's what that is. You know, when we was listening to that message by Christina, in the latter part of it, she talks about this. And I looked at June and I go, there's my message. And we can see it more and more just coming to fruit. I mean, this bewitching of the people, this, the masses of people that are being sucked in. Let's see here. You know, verse 47. Okay, let me go to read that. For any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost. You know, who says can't any man receive the Holy Ghost power? If I'm reading this right, can any man forbid that these should be baptized? You know, who are these people that, you know, he's hinting at can say that you can't be baptized? You can't be baptized. You are not good enough. You know, you're a Gentile or you're a Jew or whatever. Who is saying that? You know? You know, we're all to be witnesses chosen before God. To what? It says right here, to what? To preach, to witness that through his name, whosoever believeth, he shall receive Holy Spirit power. You know, in Jesus' name, the real Jesus. For so whoever believeth in him shall what? Receive remission of sin. Verse 43. You know, verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, you know, how many of these movements and all this stuff that we're hearing about right now, all speaking, oh, this Jesus movement, this, you know, and God this and God that, it's all, you know, he's ordained all this, you know. But they're not saying nothing about that you have to believe on him, you shall receive what? Remission of sin. And there's a word that should be put here, and that's repentance. And I'm going to come to that here in a minute. You don't hear anything like that, do you? Nope. You know, Acts 10 marked a pivotal moment in the early church. You know, it shattered the preconceived notions, revealing the boundless love and grace of God. You know, it calls for a church that would embrace people from every tribe, nation, tongue. You know, God breaks down those barriers between people, between himself. God does not show partiality. That's preached here pretty powerful. God accepts anyone who fears him and does what is right, regardless of their appearance, you know, where they're from or what color skin they are. God cares about the humble spirit. And what matters most is the intent of a worshiper's heart and believe. You know, the gospel message is for all. It's not for a selected few. It's for all, not just the Jews, but for all people. And that's what he's saying here. You know, Peter was a Jew and Cornelius was a Roman. You know, this story in Acts involves Peter, a faithful Jew, and Cornelius was a God-fearing Roman centurion. You know, Peter has a vision of a sheep filled with unclean animals, but a voice tells him not to call anything impure that God has not made clean. You know, the Holy Spirit pours out on Cornelius and his household, prompting Peter to offer them baptism. But this, you know, when I was reading this and I seen this, the scripture where it says that, you know, about the sheep, you know, he sees the sheep, which full of the beast. And they were what? Unclean. But that's, I don't know how to say that, but it's just a, what's the word I want to use? I can't think of the word to use, but it's more, gosh darn, how do I say that? Anyway, it's an example or whatever that, you know, even these unclean things, see, the Jews thought the Gentiles were unclean. But through Jesus, through the new covenant, we're all made clean when you come to Christ. And that's kind of the way I see that. And it's interesting when for some reason, when I was listening to Christina, and she, you know, when you guys listen to her, she's going to talk about that net, that drag net. And when I read this, that's the first thing that come to me is, wow, this sheet that comes down upon him, it's full of these four-legged beasts and you know, these unclean animals. But it swoops them up. Kind of like the dragnet. But you'll have, when you listen to that message, and then come back and read this and just put the two and two together, it's interesting. I don't know how to explain it, but I just had to put that out there. But, you know, Peter has this vision, you know, this sheep filled with these unclean animals. But a voice tells him not to call anything impure that God has made clean. And you can go to to Acts 11, chapter 11. And he expresses it again, you know. I'm not going to read all of it, but verse 6, upon that, this is chapter 11, upon the which when I had fastened my eyes, I considered and saw four-legged beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, not so, Lord, for nothing common or defiled or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. If God cleansed it, you know, it's not unclean no more, you know. We've been set free. But these animals just say they're sinful people who have come to repentance for the remission of their sins. That's kind of how I'm looking at that. If it makes any sense. But anyway, you know, the Holy Spirit pours out on Cornelius and his household, prompting Peter to offer them baptism. Ain't that awesome? You know, you have to, baptism is about making a decision. You know, you have to make a decision and say, yes, I want to follow who? And I want to follow Jesus. Let's turn to James. James chapter 2. And James chapter 2, the first 13 verses, it's about impartiality toward all. You know, it's kind of confirming what, you know, what Peter and Cornelius, it confirms chapter 10 in Acts and chapter 11, you know, impartiality toward all. You know, the very first verse, let's read that very first verse. Let me get this here right. James 2, okay, yeah. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. You know, there's no respecter of persons, you know. There's no favoritism, you know. People aren't forbidden you know. And if you read down on this, that's what he's talking about. I guess I'm not going to read it, but when you read down this, it's you know, verse 4, are ye not then partial in yourselves and are become less judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my brethren, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to them that love him? Not to this person or that person or a smart person or a dumb person or black, white, red, whatever. It's to them that love him. But ye have not despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? I think when June talks tomorrow, what she, her message's got is this is going to be in there. This is what's coming. We got these highfalutin people who are going to come in and start judging the people in the churches. If you don't follow this agenda, we're going to persecute you. We're going to expose you, et cetera, et cetera. Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? You know, we're called by the name of Jesus. They're going by a false Jesus. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Verse 9, but if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin. Yeah, if ye have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law of transgression. What's that saying? If you pay attention to certain special people, you know, they're so special. They're, you know. No, we're all one and the same in Christ. You know, if you're giving favoritism to some person or some movement or some whatever, it's sin. For so whoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that saith, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgression of the law. So speak ye and do so as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that has shown no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. This law of liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You know, we've been set free from the law through Jesus, you know. Then he gets into faith that works. You know, faith that works. James warns that partiality is incompatible with faith and can lead to selfish behavior, adultery, murder, and more. And more. Better circle that. Because there's so much more, you know, sin. Selfish behavior. I had to point my finger at that because I know sometimes I'm a selfish person. I feel. I'm just going to say this. And I'm something I else, you know, like Mama was saying, we all have something that we have to work on. Each one of us individually has something we have to work on. Well, that's something I'm working on. You know, obedience. James says that following God's laws includes loving God, and loving your neighbor leads to freedom. That's that law of liberty. trusting God. Christians should trust God to provide for them and protect them instead of seeking favor of them who oppress them. Instead of, you know, we have to trust, I mean, the Lord. And each day more and more trust and faith. You know, treating others as equals. Christian believers should treat all others as equals because they believe they will be judged, you know, by the law of freedom. Showing partiality is sin. James writes that favoring the rich over the poor is a sin. It breaks the command to love your neighbor as yourself. It's expressed here pretty hard. Showing partiality is selfish. Showing partiality shows that we care more about an outward appearance than the heart, and that we misunderstand who is important to God. I'm going to point my finger at that, at me. You know, we have to all work at that. You know, genuine faith is marked by the pursuit of God. You know, in Acts 2, 42 and 47, you know, points an amazing picture of the early church pursuing God through teaching and reading the Word, through prayer and through Christian community fellowship. You know, we also need to pursue God through fasting and prayer. And that's something we're going to be doing here at the first of the year. You know, Matthew 6:16. Let's just turn there quick. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So we have to be careful, you know, when we fast, how we approach that. Interesting too, I found that let's see, where is it? You know, right before this, you know, where he's talking about fasting, you know, that it's when you turn back to verse 9, it's how to pray. You know, it's the Lord's Prayer. I thought that was interesting. You know, here he is. He's talking about how to pray. You know, if you turn to Luke 11, you know, is that also is the Lord's Prayer. And you know, the very first part of Luke 11, chapter 11, Jesus teaches about prayer. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Then it goes into the Lord's Prayer. I just found that was interesting. You know, it's the model prayer. It's how we pray. You know, when we fast, we should pray like this, you know, and each word, you know, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, giving praise to the Lord, giving honor and glory to the Lord, you know, and you could go on down through it. Each sentence or whatever, each one is, can be broke down into a great big paragraph, you might say. But I just found that was kind of interesting, you know. So, but the true mark of faith is growing, is a growing hatred for the sin we used to love, you know, that we used to live in, you know, and evidence by a genuine repentance. And there's that word. Remember, I was saying I was going to, you know, the remission of sins. Well, your remission of sins is when you repent. And that's the true mark of faith, is acknowledging your sin and acknowledging your shortcomings, acknowledging whatever it is that you're dealing with to the Lord. And we hear nothing of that out there by all these false prophets, all these big movements of Jesus, all these Jesus movements. You hear nothing about repentance. Not one word that the nation should repent. And no, then we'll get this big prize of this big king that they've elected in. Anyway, it's repentance. Let's turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. And it's interesting because when June mentioned this scripture, we wanted to talk about these three different scriptures, Acts 10, James 2, and 1 Peter 2. And so when I was reading 1 Peter 2 and looking at it and studying it somewhat, but what's the first word of chapter 2, 1 Peter? Wherefore? You know, so wherefore, what does that mean? For what reason? Or why? Or for what cause? You know, as a result of which dedication is, you know, the modern translation would be for what reason or what purpose. So what you're saying here, for what purpose are we going to do what he's talking about here next in chapter 2? For what purpose? So in order to really know the wherefore, we need to read chapter 1. So I'm highly advising everyone to read chapter 1. You know, especially the starting verse 7. Let's just go ahead and read this quick. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that is perished, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Whew. Amen. Whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom not through now ye see him not, yet believe ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Hallelujah. Huh? Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Now, are any of these false prophets out there? I am not hearing any of them that are talking about grace. Verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Whoa. You know, we're all going to go through some sufferings, just like Jesus did. Verse 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. But here, this right here, verse 13 and on, this is a call to Christian dedication. This latter part of chapter 1, 1 Peter, but the latter part is a call to Christian dedication. And so that's why this wherefore in chapter 2, wherefore, you know, we've been called to dedicate ourselves. So let's just read this. Wherefore, you know, and here it is. Well, wherefore, in chapter 1 also, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust of your ignorance, you know, when we used to be, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. If ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. And I'm going to talk about that more. You know, this soldiering, it's a pilgrimage. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. He's being revealed. Amen. To us. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God and not no man. No one's going to save you. No one's going to save this nation, this country, or anything. Only the Lord Jesus when he comes back. Woo! Just read Revelation scriptures about Jesus coming back. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfringed love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently, earnestly. Amen. And this is the new birth, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. We can all say, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. We're called to preach this, each one of us. Wherefore, there now we're going to get into chapter 2. Wherefore, you know, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envious and evil speaking, hypocrisies is the word I'm trying to say. But this is interesting because what June's going to talk about. Well, when we was listening to this big movement sweeping across the country right now, and they're going, they've got an agenda of going to every church throughout the country and finding out if the pastor is in agreement with their movement. And if you're not in agreement with their movement, you're going to be exposed. And what they're saying is that you're supposed to be preaching, you know, politics. It's hypocrisy is what they're doing, because before, if you would say anything, you was shamed, you was, you know, thrown out or whatever. But now, oh no, they're going to come in and you should be preaching politics, you know, you need to be in agreement with our movement. Well, here we have, it says, you know, we're to lay across this hypocrisy, and they're bringing it out full on, this movement. And I just had to bring that out. But, you know, we're called, you know, it's a call to Christian dedication. You know, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Amen. We have such a gracious God. This morning when I got up and it was real, I mean, we went to bed early and we got up. I can't remember what time it was. It was like 11 or 12 or something. We would come out and started studying and everything, and it was up most of the night. But here I went outside and I was just, you know, talking to the Lord. Wow, Lord, your grace is so awesome. You know, the things we're going through, and we just thank you for your grace. His grace and his mercy. You know, and if ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, you know, I hope everyone has tasted that, his grace. Verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ Jesus. By Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus is the foundation stone of the spiritual house that God is building. And this spiritual house, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. You know, it's those who believe and trust in him alone. And as these, you know, as those who trust in him, you know, they're the living stones that he's talking about here that make up the house that God is building. Each one of us, you know, we're part of his house. Christians should offer their lives as spiritual sacrifices to God and should live good, righteous, and holy lives, you know, in this battle against their desire to sin. You know, in this battle against the darkness of this world. Let's jump down to verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, you know, God's own, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. You know, we've been called out of that darkness, you know, just like verse says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. You know, we're being called out of the darkness. There's so many people that are in the dark and they don't even know it. They're in a false light. I didn't look up any scriptures on that, but there's quite a few of them about the false light. And we're seeing that right now. We're seeing the deception and people living a mass delusional state. It is so sad. You know, all I can say is, whoa. You know, we're seeing this being implemented right now in a massive scale. You know. You know, Christians should especially be mindful of God and the grace He has given them in Jesus. Especially when they are unfairly criticized or the world's stuff is throwing at them. And we can see that. They're just throwing all kinds of crap at us. You know, live as servants of God, you know, verses 11 through 17 talks about. You know, let's go to verse 15. For so is the will of God. And we express that all the time. Your will, Lord. We want to do your will, not ours, not some man's will. For so is the will of God that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Boy, we're seeing a lot of that. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, you know, evil intentions, but as servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God and honor the King. You know, we need to fear our God. You know, we need to have a very reverential fear of God because judgment is coming. You know, we have to understand our identity. You know, as Christians, as believers, should understand that the old, you know, that our old distinctions, our old, you know, self, the old distinctions of male, female, slave, free, Jew, Gentile, you know, free or bond, no longer matter before God. You know, God's own people are, well, here, that's 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. You know, and I read this already, but, you know, God's own people, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. I just love this verse. That you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Wow. Ain't that awesome? And then 1 Peter 2. Let me think here. You know, but anyway, you know, I've got a scripture here I'm trying to get. Going down here to this, okay, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Now I want to stop at that word, pilgrims. You know, in biblical times, you know, like here, Peter, you know, he's addressing this letter to chosen pilgrims of the diaspora. You know, these were the Christians that were scattered all throughout the five Roman provinces, okay, of Asia Minor. And they were experiencing religious persecution. That's why he says here, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims." Because they were run out of where they really lived. They were on this, you might say, soul journey. You know, they were scattered all throughout Rome, all throughout Asia Minor. You know, because what they were experiencing religious persecution. And we're starting to see that now. You know. It's, and I wrote here in my notes, coming to a town near you soon. Prepare yourselves for battle. You know, Peter's purpose in this, what he's saying here, you know, and this is what we, you know, June and I, this ministry, the Garden of Eden ministry, that's our purpose. It's to strengthen and encourage the Christian remnant, is what I'm saying. To prepare them for the future period of intense persecution. And that's what he's doing here. You know, he reminds them that their prospects for glory and salvation and call them to live holy lives. Amen. Let's turn to Psalm 118. Psalm 118, and it's interesting. Psalm 118. Let's see, I got verse 22, but I'm going to go up a ways. You know, this Psalm 118 is that it's a psalm about thanksgiving for the Lord's salvation. Okay, but Psalm 22, the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is from the Lord, you know. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is an awesome psalm. You should just read the whole thing. But it's interesting, too, when I was looking at this here. You know, we have to live a life that reflects Jesus Christ. That's what this psalm is about. And to live in a way that, you know, will draw others to Jesus. You know, even in this hostile world that we're living in right now, you know, we're called to live in holiness. And it's interesting, too, that this Psalm 118, it's the center message of the whole Bible. And to me, when I was reading this, the key verse is right here, verse 8 and 9. Or should I say, verse 8 and 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. You know, and that's the message today. We have to trust in the Lord. We can't put our confidence in man. You know, we can't live in fear of what we're seeing out there. You know, fear, the phrase, you know, some aspect of fear where it says, do not be afraid or fear not. It's repeated over 365 times in the Bible. So, Don't live in fear and put your trust, your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. You know, live without fear and to trust in God's guidance. You know, and that was part of the big message for today, you know, and June expressed that. You know, we have to have Holy Spirit. We have to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in these end times. You know, pretty soon there ain't going to be a phone, maybe, or internet, or there ain't going to be communication, as June was talking about. And so we have to, you know, in these turbulent times we're coming into, that's going to come upon us fast. We can see it coming. And scriptures are very clear that when it comes, boom, it's going to hit. And no man will know the day or the hour, but we'll know the time. We'll know the season, and we're there, we believe. So, anyway, that's our message today. Father God, we just thank you right now, Lord, for your word. We thank you that your word has encouraged us that not to trust in no man, Lord. Not to trust in the systems of the world, Lord. But we need to put all our faith and trust in you alone, Lord, for healing, for deliverance from sin, sickness, disease, and calamity. We just thank you, Lord, for deliverance from all that, that no weapon formed against us will prosper. And so we just thank you, Lord, and we praise you today, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. But I hope everybody will have a great day. It was windy and raining this morning. I looked outside. It looks like it cleared off a little bit. Still overcast. So, everybody have a great day.
All righty, Pastor. Thank you so much for your confirming word this morning about where we're at right now. And it is very true that we're going to have to be knowledgeable of who we are in Christ in this hour, because the enemy, he wants people to give up right now, Pastor. You know, he wants people to not know that God is powerful and that he is. He sees you, he knows you, and he's going to make it work, you know.
Yeah.
So.
This is true.
Well, all right, Bride. We're going to get off here because we did go past our time. We said we would try to stop by 9 o'clock, so I apologize because I went extra long this morning. But I will see you guys on the prayer call in the morning. Okay, so y'all have a wonderful day. Let me pray for your families, okay? Lord, we just pray right now, Pastor and I come together in agreement, Lord, with all these families that are on the call right now and are listening later. Lord, we just rebuke any spirit of fear that would try to come on them because of the enemy closing in and the image of the beast that we see. You know, the moving in of the enemy forces, Lord. But we pause and consider the children of Israel in the days of old that had the same scenario when Pharaoh came with his armies and they were right on their tail. And this is where we know we're at right now. But Lord, your mighty hand was there. And you had your angels with them, just like you did Cornelius and Peter, like we talked about today. And you had them move to the back of the children and move the cloud, which provided light for the children, blessing and warmth to the children of Israel. But that same cloud was a curse to the other side, to the wicked. And you're going to do the same for us. And you're going to protect us just like you did there. And Lord, we know that we can do anything that you call us to with grace have to have grace. That's what grace is. Is it empowers us to do what we know we cannot do. And Lord, we know when we consider the apostles and how they were martyred and all the other people in the days of old that were martyred, and people even today in other countries getting martyred today, even in Nigeria. All these people have to have grace to live out the role that they were meant to live in the earth. This is what we want more than anything, is to stand before our King knowing that He will say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Lord, You're in charge of the orders in this army of the living God. And You decide who goes where and when and why and how. We know that being in Your army, Lord, we don't have to understand why You send us here or why You do things this way or that way. We just obey because we're Your children. And we always know that You have the best heart over us. You have the interest of us. You know what the big picture is, and we don't. We think we know some things, but we don't know all things. You know all things. And You know what it is that is happening today, what we're facing. You know what we look like, how old we are, our financial situation, where we live. You know what we lack. You know where our faults are, our frailties. You know our weaknesses, Lord. You know it all. And You also know the people that's living on that street. And You know the senators in your state. And You know all this. We trust in You, even though we don't understand it. We don't have to understand it. This is what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord be done. Because we don't know it all. We just have to obey You and do what You tell us to do, even though it looks like, that is going to kill me by sending these letters. This is going to be, you know, the thoughts that run through your mind when you walk through obedience. But Lord, we trust in You because You know the big picture. We don't. And we very humbly submit ourselves to You on this last Sunday service of the year. And Lord, I know I speak for Pastor and I, how very honored we are that these people trust us, Lord. They know we're only human and we have battles too. And we've never proclaimed to be perfect people. And we thank You they still love us anyway, Lord. That they know that we're on a journey as they're on a journey. And we all are in a battle. And I thank You for these people that You've given us, Lord. And we pray as a church today that in 2025, that we will be closer than we've ever been. That we will draw close to one another, and that we will trust each other more than we ever have. We will love each other more than we ever have. And I just thank You for our church family, Lord. Many of us have been rejected by our personal families, our natural earthly families. And this is a real family. This is what Jesus said to people when He was up on the cross, when He was dying. He said, "This is My real family, is the ones that believe in Me." And that's the way we feel as a church. You know, we're all family here and we're all growing. And I just want to thank You, Lord, for them having grace for us as we all go underground, that they went with us. And they trusted us, Lord. They trust the word that we bring. And we just thank You, Lord, in such a tumultuous hour, Lord, that they do. And Lord, we pray for me and Pastor before the church today. Lord, that when we go into 2025, when we come back together next Sunday, and we're in 2025, that you would increase that anointing of pastors on me and him. Lord, that you would give us prophetic utterances for our church people. That you would use us, Lord, in even greater way to be there for our peoples. To speak life into our peoples, Lord. To speak the word that they need to hear, that you anoint us to be better leaders. And we just thank you for that, God. For such a time as this, for the time that we have left, because we really don't know how much time we have left. But Lord, we thank you. We actually made it all the way through 2024. What an amazing thing that we was able to have church together for a whole year. We're thankful for 2024 and all that we learned this year and all that we've been through, Lord. And we just thank you ahead of time for 2025 because we know you're over there and you're just going to walk us through it, Lord. We're going to serve you one day at a time. And we just thank you and give you praise because you are worth it, Lord. You are holy. You are pure. You are beautiful, and we worship your holy name this morning. So I thank you for our church family, Lord. I thank you for all their families. Lord, I pray you heal the relationships in their families with their children and with their family members, Lord. Some of them that are living with spouses that took the V, and they're living with children that are out of control right now, and you just things that seem so overwhelming to them. As pastors, we hold up their arms right now, God. Lord, just pour your oil, your anointing oil over these people. Give them the grace to be able to do what they need to do in the light, to be the light in the midst of their darkness. Help them, Lord, to have love for people that don't understand what's happening, that they would see them in more of a compassionate eyes, that if they don't come out of this, they're going to really suffer, you know? And we have compassion for them because they're being duped. And we know that that snake's tail is like a scorpion. And it'd come around, it'd bite them. So, Lord, we pray that we'll be able to have compassion on them and not be angry at their choice, but just have compassion praying that they'll make the right decision before our tail zaps them. And we just lay our family members down asking you, God, to send your angels to them, Lord. Move on our family's behalf, God. We want our children saved. We want our grandchildren saved, Lord. We want them delivered out of this mess and to have their eyes, the scales come off their eyes, that they may see the glory of the Lord, that they may see what is happening right now, God, and not be caught up in this delusion, Lord. And we give them to you today. We give you our family, Lord. We have to do this all the time. Because we always want to take them back because it hurts so much to see what we're seeing. So to Lord, today, Lord, we're giving them back to you. We're trusting you. We, like we said earlier, we trust you when we understand and we trust you when we don't. You are God alone. No matter what other people do and the decisions they make is on them. It's on them. But we're not going to let that affect us, me and you, Lord. Because they're going to do what they're going to do. We pray for them and we trust you that whatever happens, happens. Because we know that we want the will of the Lord to be done. And we've done all we can do, and that's pray. And trust and obey. So, Lord, I pray that you heal their bodies. Anybody out there that's battling with sickness, And any of the sickness they're battling with that has to do with the five Genesis being increased, Lord, I just pray right now that a shield would come around them, a supernatural shield. Lord, I'm asking you for a miracle today. For all of our people, Lord, that you put a supernatural shield around them, a dome, to protect them from that radiation, Lord. You know what we're having to live through in this world. And we've got to have this supernatural shield to protect our flesh, and we need this flesh. We need this bodysuit to be able to finish our mission. This is your will to be done here. So, Lord, cover them. Cover them with this dome. Protect them. Pull all that mess out. All of that that's hit their tissues and stuff, Lord. Pull all that out. Any of those nanobots or any of the radiation, any of that, the plots and the plans of the enemy to infiltrate the church without us approving and giving permission to enter, we tell all of you foreigners in there, you got to leave right now in the name of Jesus. We reject you. We renounce you. There is nothing about this beast agenda we're coming in agreement with, so we're casting you out. And we're telling you, you're not welcome in this temple. This temple is the temple of the living God who shall live and worship the Lord. We refuse to be transhuman. We refuse to bow to the beast. And we refuse to have the beast in us. In Jesus' name. So, Lord, I just thank you for moving in their households, Lord, and moving in their hearts. To forgive all those that have offended them, we need to deal with this ASAP. Lord, help them to forgive and let it go so that they can go into 2025 and be willing to be glorified for your name. So today we just thank you and give you praise, Lord, and we honor you on our last church service of the year. In Jesus' name, and stepping into 2025, believing that God is only going to move harder and faster in our lives as the pressure comes on, that we will shine as bright lights in the midst of the darkness, being used by an almighty God until our last breath. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, guys, I love you, and Pastor loves you, and we will see you guys in the morning. Well, I'll try to see you tonight on the news, and then I will see you in the morning.